I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to a song by Portland composer and musician David Ornette Cherry. Find his music at davidornettecherry.com. Today we're featuring the first ever Black History Festival Northwest, because it's the first. I haven't said this before, and it's going to be fantastic. We have the festival director here, Shalonda Sims, to talk about this extension of her Black History Month play, Who I Am Celebrating Me. We'll also find out about this Black History Celebration Month. It's running the entire month, February 1st through the 28th. And in the last part of the show, we'll hear a short riff on writing piece with famed author and beloved community member Ursula K. Le Guin, who passed away last week on January 22nd, 2018. And this is a piece that I did with her. So we're going to hear that at the end of the show. This is Stage and Studio. Stay with us. I'm Dime Roberts, and I guess we're Facebook streaming this live. This is, like, awesome, and there's video right now, so people who want to go to Facebook.com and go to KBOO's Facebook page, you know, actually can see us in the studio. With me in the studio are Festival Director Shalonda Sims. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So good to see you again. And with her is Alonzo Chadwick. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to see you, too. And Ivy Keller, welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you very much.
And Kyra Orr, welcome back.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, so they are all part of this massive effort to create the first ever Black History Festival Northwest, and it's running the entire month of February in Portland, Gresham, Beaverton, Vancouver, and I guess even Eugene. We're going to hear all about that. So welcome all to Stage and Studio. This is a massive event. I mean, I looked at the schedule of events and all that it encompasses, all the organizations, the businesses. We're going to talk about all that, Shalonda, but I can't believe. I mean, you know, I know that you're doing the Who I Am Celebrating Me, you know, every year, but and that's big. I mean, that's like a cast of 28 or something, right? So this is even bigger. So I've talked to you through the last couple of years about Who I Am Celebrating Me, and that's produced as a world stage theater production, a musical play that you created 12 years ago because there were no Black History Month celebrations that really had, you know, were artistic events.
Right.
And that's why you celebrated it. Do you find that there are more now?
Yes.
Okay. Especially now with this festival, right?
Right. Yeah, we're seeing so many more events, especially this year. Yeah, there are so many events happening. Yeah, I'll just say that.
Well, it's good because, you know, it felt like for you that there wasn't nothing happening, and now you feel like there's more. Can you give us a little background on Who I Am Celebrating Me, like, you know, a little bit of brief overview of this yearly production, like what it involves and what kind of history that you celebrate?
Right. So Who I Am Celebrating Me is basically a cultural journey. We're taking you from Africa to present day. And we're highlighting many of the African-American experiences in the United States. It is...
You change it up each year,
change it every year because there's so many African-Americans to highlight and showcase.
And so many stories and so
many
much history.
Stories to tell. Yeah. Yes. So we change it up. Some of the things we keep because our audience just loves and they won't let us get rid of it.
What's the one that everybody loves?
Michael Jackson.
Of course.
Right. So we keep that one in, but we really do try to change it up at least every 2 years.
I do remember the piece that your son Isaiah did with Cab Calloway.
Yes.
I'm sure that's an audience favorite too.
That's another one. Yeah, and we have tried to get rid of that. We used to have, who was it? Ella Fitzgerald with a Tisket, a Tasket.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But when we brought in the Cab Calloway, we just
I think it has to do with
to.
Isaiah it more
might,
than Ella.
It might. He's very dramatic. So.
Well, you know, it's just amazing to me because it is a huge cast. It's a huge endeavor. And for this year's production, how is it different? What kind of things are you changing up for this year's Who I Am Celebrating Me?
We're changing some of the African-American figures.
I mean, can you tell me like a little bit or do you want to? You don't want to give any teasers out? Really?
Not really. We like the audience to come in and be surprised with the changes that we've made. But I'll say we have some fantastic singers joining us.
Oh, of course you do.
This year.
And including you, I hope.
Yes.
Yes. She doesn't want to even tease that. I'm like, you're such a beautiful singer.
Thank you. So
that I just want to give a shout out to before we get on to the major festival. The 12th annual Who I Am Celebrating Me production. You want to see more about it, go to worldstagetheater.org. The dates for that production are February 11th and 12th, and you can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com and at the worldstagetheater.org. Now, you've taken a rather large cast an extensive historical production of Who I Am Celebrating Me, expanded it to a whole month of celebrations. How did this all come about? Is it primarily your effort as festival director? Did you like start talking to people and saying, let's do this?
A little bit of both. So when we first started Who I Am, we knew that we wanted to do a festival. We just weren't ready to do it.
So you've grown.
So we've grown and we're able to expand that this year. Thanks to a nice sizable grant.
Well, you know, the funding is always helps.
Yes.
You know, yes. There's only so much you could do as a labor of love.
Exactly.
And it's still a labor of love, even with funding.
Right.
We know this.
Yes.
Yes. And this is something you started planning like since 12 years ago.
Okay. Yes.
All right. And why did you feel now was the time you could do a major festival with so many events for 4 weeks?
Again, when we started, there weren't as many activities. Now we're seeing more.
And are you incorporating a lot of other activities
that people are doing? We have 10 events, festival events.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've also partnered with a lot of other people who have events. And it's kind of sparked this, I'm having an event. I'm going to have an event. Let's tag it on to the festival.
So it's collaborative.
It's collaborative.
And
very
you've got
much
a lot
so.
Of partners in that. So
yes.
That makes total sense.
Yes.
That makes and then so it's all under the umbrella of this festival.
Yes.
Okay. That makes it really clear. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. I've been talking to Shalonda Sims, who is the festival director of Black History Festival Northwest. And we're going to talk more about that, but you can go right now to their website, which is, for some reason, blanking on me, blackhistoryfestival.org, right?
Right.
And you can also get that at stageandstudio.org and kboo.fm/stageandstudio. And I guess we are Facebook streaming. Hey, everybody. You can watch us on Facebook. We're waving. Or just listen to us right now. So I'm going to bring in Alonzo and Ivy and Kyra to this conversation. Let's find out, you know, Alonzo and Ivy, you're both doing outreach. So for this massive festival, it has events not only in Portland, but Troutdale, Gresham, Beaverton, Vancouver, and I guess an event in Eugene. How do you do outreach for something this massive? Either one, Alonzo, you want to start? Or
so basically really trying to make sure we incorporate Black Portland to let them know that this is happening. Trying to reach out to the community organizations to spread the word, especially to some of our big organizations here. That's because, as we know, Black Portland is not very large. So a lot of the Black community organizations kind of all serve the same family. So really making sure that we all are in the same loop and we all know that it's going on and it is happening. And also to find out if they are willing to partner or be a part or even share some of the events that they're doing. So that's one way that we've been doing that.
So to piggyback on what Alonzo's saying, Black Portland is really very small. So just reaching out in the community to the people that we know own Black businesses has just been wonderful. And we're getting some great feedback and partnerships through doing it.
Well, you know, it's so interesting to me, too, how many partnerships there are. You go onto the webpage and it's list, columns of businesses, columns of community partners.
Right.
I mean, how many are there, Shalonda?
There's over 100.
Yeah. It seems like it. I didn't count each one, but.
Right. There's over 100 on that page.
So much support
about.
For this.
Yes. Yes. One thing we've heard over and over is it's about time.
I was going to say that.
It's
actually.
About time. Yeah. We so needed this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we know that people of color and African Americans are always looking for a space to celebrate their culture. So.
And here is a huge space, a huge umbrella for so many different organizations to showcase and also artists and business people too, to be able to showcase POC-owned businesses. I mean, you know, that's something that we need to think more about too. Right. Can you talk about some of the events that are showcasing, you know, Ivy or Alonzo or Kyra? Do you want to talk about any of that? What are some of the events that you're involved in?
Well, I can say one of the events that we're doing, as you know, I work for Black Parent Initiative. And so one of the events that is a part of the Black History Festival Northwest is our Black History Book Fair that we do annually with Barnes & Noble Clackamas. So that's one of the events, and that'll be from 11 to 3. And that usually is a day where we just really focus on culturally specific books, advertising. We bring in local authors, which this year we're actually featuring Shalonda since she just published her first book.
I want to do a shout out.
Yeah.
Shalonda, title of your book?
Night Rhythms.
And you started it because there were not too many, you know,
same
books with female, with Black female heroes, heroines, right? Heroes in young adult literature.
Exactly.
And this is part of a series.
Yes.
Are you going to be doing a reading of it?
I am.
Okay. Well, a plug for that.
Thank
so people
you.
Can get it anywhere.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Awesome. Yes. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That, too. So, Alonzo, what else is happening? I'm sort of diverged
well, yeah,
here.
Yeah, well, that's one of the highlights. And so we'll have Shalonda as well as another local author that'll be there, and we'll be giving away those books to our families.
Ooh, okay.
So we have 100 copies of the book. So the first 100 families that come will be able to get a free copy of Shalonda's book.
Oh, you're going to have to, like, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of seats there.
Yeah. We're excited.
Where is this at? What date is that?
It's going to be February the 10th at Barnes & Noble Clackamas from 11 to 3. So it'll be Shalonda. Brian Parker is another author that we have. Nikki Brown Clown, who has been a fan favorite and a family favorite of BPI's events. She'll be coming in. Even though she doesn't live here anymore, she'll still come in for this specific event. We'll have face painting. We'll have food. And it's all free. So
Barnes & Noble Clackamas won't know what happened to them.
Yes.
We want her book. We want her book. So that's cool. That is so cool. You know, I think that this is a long time in coming, and there's so many events to showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to shout out anything else? I mean, you're working a lot with youth outreach, aren't you, Ivy?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. We have an event with the youth on February 17th at Jefferson High School. It's a game show called
How Well Do You Know Your Black
How
History?
How Well Do You Know Your Black History? And what it is we will have, it's like Jeopardy. And so we'll have a list of questions and answers for the students to answer and talk about Black history. That's basically what it is. We also have an event this Saturday at Soleil's Lounge showcasing Black artists in the community along with DJ House, and just a good time, get together and food and everything else.
Well, that is so awesome. I mean, I love game shows, too. So that's a fun way to get that, you know, to get people to know history.
Yes.
You know, and for everybody to know the history.
And she forgot to mention that the team who wins, the school who wins, they receive a prize to go towards their group.
Yes.
A $500 cash
that's
prize.
That's major.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's major. That's really nice. Good work.
Thank you.
I mean, that's quite the incentive. You're listening to Stage and Studio. My guests are Festival Director Shalonda Sims, Alonzo Chadwick, Ivy Keller, and Kyra Orr, all from the first ever annual Black History Festival. And you can find out more at blackhistoryfestival.org and then stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Kyra, I want to ask you, because you haven't had a chance to speak yet, but also because you've been here before and, you know, I wonder how some of the younger, you know, African-American generation, you know, feel about Black History Month, you know? Is it, you know, because sometimes, you know, as a biracial Asian-American, a lot of times Asian-Americans like, do we need a Heritage Month on, you know, in May? And, you know, it's something that the older generation kind of fought for, right?
Yeah.
So what do you, you know, think as a youth and about all of this?
I definitely think that it's super important as someone, like, I learn something new every year when I do this play. Like, just this, like, the first day of rehearsal when I got my first line, I was like, who is this person? And we were talking about it, and it was just like, I'm like, why isn't this in schools? Like, there's so many things I feel like is left out in schools. I don't know why they're left out, but they're left out. So it's, I feel like if since we ain't gonna get it in school, we might as well get it in this production. So I feel like that's why I think I do it every year, is because I'm always gonna learn something new, for sure.
And it helps with your education too. What about your peers? How do they feel?
I think actually they like it, surprisingly, only because
well, no,
I know
it could be. Yeah.
Well, only because like if I have my friends anyway, like that's not something like they necessarily like kind of fought for, in my opinion. Like they kind of just, how do I say
they're
this?
Used to it.
They're used to
they're
it.
They're used to hearing about Black history.
Yeah. They're not, well, I would say they're not used to hearing it. That's the thing. Oh. So like when they first.
So they don't know about missing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So they don't know what they're missing out on. Yeah. So when they hear about it, they're like, oh, okay, they're actually catching an interest in something that they didn't think they would catch an interest in because they never learned about it.
Yeah. And, you know, what do you learn from history? What is the impact on you?
That it's still happening today. That is definitely a cycle repeats itself, for sure. And I think we're really trying to break that cycle. We really need to work on breaking our cycle because, I mean, it's just not, we have so much work to do.
Because history does repeat.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can learn that it has happened before and mm-hmm. we can maybe alter the outcome of what has happened before.
Yeah, we can't move forward until we accept the fact that the stuff that happened in the past happened, and that's the only way we can actually move forward.
Yeah, that's so brilliant what you just said. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is, and I'm glad that, you know, you can talk to your friends about this, you know, and that it's not uncool,
right?
Because there's things like, you know, you mentioned the game show, but also like the scavenger hunt.
Yes.
That sounds interesting. What's involved in that?
So that piece, I'm not really sure.
Oh, okay, but it's basically a traditional scavenger hunt.
Yes.
But you learn about history.
Learn about Black history.
And is it Portland history? Or
yes, it is.
Oh, uh-huh. Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds. And where would that be, Shalonda? Do you know? Is it all over?
It's all over the Portland area.
Tri-County area?
Well, more so the inner city, Portland.
Okay.
Yes.
The inner Portland area.
The inner Portland area, yeah. Because we're all spread out now, so a lot of people don't know. Thanks to gentrification.
Thank you, gentrification. Thank you for that. That everybody's outside of Portland proper now.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's true, and you can highlight that, can't you?
Right.
This used to be a Black neighborhood.
Exactly.
This used to be, right?
Yes.
And now it's like a Starbucks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I laugh about it, but it's so true, you know? And we've shared this history, too. We're going back as far back as Vanport, but also just your personal history of having to move to Troutdale.
Right.
Yes, because of affordability.
Right.
Which is a big issue.
Exactly.
For all POC communities here.
And it's a lot different than Northeast Portland.
It's very different.
Yes.
And so you're highlighting that as well through the storytelling, through the scavenger hunt, of the scavenger hunt. So you also have a celebrity keynote speaker from ESPN. Now, I don't watch ESPN, so tell me how important that is, because it sounds really important. Who is the speaker?
Jemeil Hill.
Uh-huh.
And she's a journalist. She is now
a sports reporter?
Sports reporter. She is formerly the co-host on SportsCenter 6.
Oh, okay. So she's got something to tell.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she does.
And when is she speaking?
She's speaking on February 24th.
Okay. And you're also honoring Carter G. Woodson, who started Black History Week back in 1926. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so how did Carter G. Woodson start Black History Week?
Well, it's similar to what we're trying to do. He was trying to get that information into the schools, into the education system, because there weren't many African Americans, hardly any, teaching African American history.
1926.
So the way that it was being taught, if it was being taught at all, was a little one-sided, and it still is today in 2018 in the school. I know when I've gone into the school, I've heard students say, yeah, we don't really get any curriculum about African Americans in
still?
Our textbook. Mm-hmm. And if it is, it's a small section that's kind of skimmed over really quickly.
Not even during the month of February?
During the month of February, maybe, or they might focus on the president's, because it's President's Day. So yes, still in 2018. Mm-hmm. Some schools do not. We are getting better, but some schools still do not celebrate Black History Month or acknowledge it.
And Cairo, you're nodding your head. I'm just wondering, what school did you go to? Did you have any Black History Month education during that month?
I actually went to Grant High School.
Yeah.
So I think they've actually, when she said that it's gotten better, like there used to be like not, and we wouldn't learn anything at all. And now that we're actually like having voices out there, like they have a Black Student Union and there's so many other cultures. I think there's an, I think they changed it, but it was the Latino Club and then it was the Mecha Club. So there's so many other cultures that are like expressing it when they feel like their cultures aren't being heard, which I think is super important. I think in their curriculum, they're not only learning about Black history, but they're also learning about Latino history, Native Americans, Asian history. Like it's really cool, like that they're finally starting to teach this, because it definitely needs to be heard. Everybody's cultures need to be heard.
Well, yeah, but it's interesting that it's taken so long, because I would have thought it would have happened 20 years ago. But, just me.
It's part of what we do even at Black Parent Initiative and working with the schools and making sure that the Black voice is heard and the Black narrative is heard and heard clearly, because oftentimes you don't know. I was in Shalonda's play maybe about, 8 or 9 years, and that was the first time I had ever been exposed to Black history. And I went to Whitaker and I went to Jefferson High School, mm-hmm. Which were both very predominantly Black schools. But even then, still, the curriculum did not teach us. All we really learned about was Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was basically it. Outside of that, I had no idea about all of these other amazing African American
the unsung heroes.
Yeah. And that, I would say, definitely Shalonda's play definitely highlights that. Even if nothing else, if you come, you're going to be entertained, but you're going to be educated and you're going to learn so much about your rich culture and your history.
Well, I am just amazed about this whole effort, for the whole month of February. And also just the fact that I know what it's like to produce something, and this is on a massive scale. And, I'm sure that all of you, especially you've got a great team of people, right?
Yes.
Because it doesn't happen with just one person ever. Can't. It's a movement, right?
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, right. But I am in awe of your tireless effort, Shalonda,
to
bring this awareness to this Portland area, which is so needed. Who I Am Celebrating Me performs two shows only on February 11th and 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the World Trade Center Auditorium. That's located at 121 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. Tickets are available online at brownpapertickets.com and also at worldstagetheater.org. You can find out more and see a schedule of events about the first ever Black History Festival Northwest, running through the entire month of February, starting February 1st through the 28th. And then that website is blackhistoryfestival.org. And I have that info as well as podcast of this interview at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. What a pleasure to talk to you. Any final shout outs for anything that we haven't covered?
Go see the show.
Yeah, come see the show.
Come see the show, definitely.
Yeah, go see the show. And the high school BSU teams will be revealing their displays at Multnomah County Libraries.
Black Student Union.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On February 1st.
Yes.
Thursday.
There's so many people involved in
yes.
this, and I would think that you could go every week and see something new,
yes,
right?
You can.
And do something new.
And the Black Movie Night. We forgot about
that. Oh, okay. Yes. Big yes. shout. Yes. Just like 10 seconds.
Yeah. February 16th. We basically are all going as a community to go see Black Panther.
Yes.
At which theater? I forgot which theater.
Division Street.
The Division Street
in
Theater.
East County. Yes.
Oh, I don't know that. Okay. So the Division Street Theater.
Regal's. Is it Regal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And that's Black Panther. And that's the movie night?
Yes.
God, that'll be awesome.
Yes.
We're going to have red carpet and everything.
Yes. It's
gonna be and photos.
Yes,
everybody's
going
to dress
that.
Up. Oh, how nice. Okay. So fantastic. Well, thank you all for being here today. Shalonda Sims, Alonzo Chadwick, Ivy Keller, and Cairo Orr. Thank you so much. And for all the efforts here and for visiting with us on Stage and Studio today. Kudos to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
A tremendous effort. Next up, I have a short piece I'd like to play to honor the passing of Portland-based and internationally loved author Ursula K. Le Guin. She died on January 22nd, 2018, and it's with sadness we realize the loss of a great writer and thought-provoking speaker. My favorite book books of hers still live on, The Dispossessed, The Left Hand of Darkness, the Earthsea Trilogies, and oh so many short story collections. That's just some of the highlights from a very long list of books. I had the honor to interview my hero a couple of times. Last week, KBOO featured my half-hour documentary about Ursula, which is still on the KBOO.fm stage and studio site, and also stageandstudio.org. But I also want to play a short piece that's not on there, and it's when Ursula K. Le Guin talked briefly about the craft of writing, and it was so poetic that I set it to music by Clark Salisbury.
I do cross genre boundaries constantly. I mix them up. I write realistic fiction, which is a genre. I write science fiction, which is another genre. I write fantasy, which is yet another genre. I mix them up. I write magical realism. I think all these boundaries are breaking down, breaking down. It used to be that literature was realism, and that just is no longer true. The style of the piece depends on what the piece is about and what its subject matter is. One does write and read realism differently from science fiction because they're talking about different things. The metaphors are different. The whole imagery of the piece is different. I like moving around that way. I also write both poetry and prose, which in some circles is a no-no, too. You can't possibly write fiction if you write poetry or vice versa. But that's silly. Of course you can. Just because some people don't doesn't mean that other people can't. I have to at least believe that I know the trajectory of this story, kind of where it's going and where it's going to end up. I'm not a plot writer. I'm a story writer, for one thing. And I have learned to trust the story to take me where it's going if I'm very attentive on the way. I think there's a difference between plot and story. And plot is, it's easy to talk about. You can rationally extract the plot from the story and tell it. You can't extract the story from the story. We don't read Tolstoy's War and Peace for the plot. Let's face it, we read it for the story. There is a difference. Whether War and Peace has a plot, I really don't know. It has a beautifully constructed, enormous story. That's what I'm interested in. That's what I read for, and that's what I write for, is to find out what happened. Story is much larger, older, and deeper than plot. Plot is a kind of a manipulation of story to make it more suspenseful, more immediately effective, more patterned. There are beautiful plots. I'm not saying plot's a bad thing at all. I'm just saying it's not the basis. It's kind of an added thing that we talk about because it's way easier to talk about than what makes a good story a good story. That's a kind of mystery.
That was literary writer and acclaimed author Ursula K. Le Guin, and this was her riff on writing. Ursula, we will miss you for a very long time. We're listening to music by Clark Salisbury as we close this edition of Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Judy Feistel. I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org and kboo.fm/stageandstudio, as well as on iTunes. And you can like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio, where I think we also, on if you go to KBOO's page, you can still see the Facebook live streaming that we just did. And you can tweet me also at stage, the letter and studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.